Hello there, wildling. Welcome to the Tea and Tombstones podcast. Here, we discuss topics in relation to the wild spirit, and we are rewriting the themes of wellness to include the spectrum of hallowed ground we claim within ourselves and the haunted ground we conquer with reverence and honor. My name is Ashley, the creator and wolf child of Tea and Tombstones. With tarot cards in my hands and a howl in my throat, I welcome you here. Hello there, my dear spirits. Wherever you are at today, I hope you're well as you can be. This is not the podcast episode that I was initially planning on creating, but in light of recent events with the overturning of Roe v. Wade, I feel that this is the podcast episode that needs to be spoken about and needs to be talked about, and it's the one that I need to create. To be honest, this is hard. This is really hard right now. I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir here, but this is hard. It's hard to know that our rights are just being taken away from us, and that at any time the use of power and control can be used and placed on us to make sure that we abide by what someone else wants or believes in, even if that has no semblance of what we believe, what we agree with, or what we want. And I find myself moving from moments of tears to rage to laughing with Grizzly about something, and then to fear, to being numb, to checking out, and there's a whole smaller microcosm within that spectrum. And wherever you are at, I just want to create space and reverence for whatever you're feeling and for what is coming up within you, and to know that if there are times that you find yourself laughing and then you go immediately to fear or rage or anger, that's valid, because that's where I'm at too. So I just want to hold space for that, and I just want to hold all of you and all of your energy in honor, because it's becoming clear at how we have to be there for each other, because in many ways that's all we have now. So, as I said, this was not the podcast episode that I was planning on making. I was planning on making one all about how to write a tarot spread, because I mentioned in a few posts back in my Instagram that I usually have a tarot highlight for each month in relation to the monthly cards and the energies and the affirmations that I highlight as a way to kind of channel that tarot reading out there for anyone who may need it, may need to have the ally of me and the cards and be of service to them in these monthly energies. But I feel like now more than ever, this is the topic that needs to be discussed. And we're going to be talking about using the tarot in and for the times that we're in. The tarot can be an amazing tool in even the best of times. But in times like this, it truly is a very needed, beautiful gift, a guide, and a needed ally. Obviously, the tarot is not a substitute for any sort of mental or physical health care or therapy or any sort of services like that. So if that is what you need, I urge you to get what you need, which honestly feels kind of, it feels almost ironic to say that when one of the very premises of fundamental healthcare is being taken away from us. But yeah, the tarot is not a substitute for those things, and I just want to mention that if what you are needing is something of a more medical, mental, or health-related healing, therapy, or anything like that, I urge you to take care of that and take care of yourself in getting those needs met. So yeah, we're going to be talking today about working with the tarot in these times, and I'm going to talk about a few different cards. We're going to be talking about probably most specifically the High Priestess. I just put an Instagram post out there about the High Priestess and really what her energies speak to in these times. But there's going to be some other cards that I throw in there that also speak to some of the things that we can use and engage with as, again, an ally and as a guide for navigating through this complete and utter shithole for lack of a better word. I also want to end this podcast episode by reading the Justice poem from my upcoming poetry book. I will have timestamps for that, so if you just want to jump to that and hear that first, or if that's all you want to hear or anything, timestamps will be listed so that you can jump to what you want to hear. So let's go ahead and start talking about how to use tarot as a needed guide and as an ally in the times that we're in. One thing that I would like to point out before we start engaging with the invitations and discussions of the High Priestess is that each and every card speaks to a sovereign self. So the High Priestess is not the only card in a tarot deck. In fact, every single tarot card in the deck speaks to developing that relationship of sovereign spirit and deepening the wisdom that comes from that birthright and from that sovereignty and that self-guidance that each and every one of us has. The reason that I wanted to talk about the High Priestess is because I feel that her invitations really start to engage and open this envelope of what does sovereignty mean as a birthright. And I think that that's where we need to return first and foremost with everything that's been happening. So I just wanted to name that and to honor that and the practice of tarot as I know it. No card, I believe, ever speaks to an absent third party, to someone else that, you know, is not there for the reading. I believe that every time that I pull a reading for myself or when I'm in a tarot reading with a client, I believe that each and every card is speaking to the one who is sitting in this place of deepening that curiosity and sovereignty of self. So if that's me doing my own morning poll or whatever, or if that's my client, then each and every card speaks to them. With that being said, I believe that the three cards here that I really want to discuss can really help at least create a grounded foothold or a grounded foundation to get maybe a little bit of a sure foot for the next step going forward. So I just wanted to say that, and I just wanted to honor that. Each and every tarot card speaks to deepening that sovereignty of self. So if you're in a space of reading your tarot cards and maybe the High Priestess or the other two cards, the Eight of Swords or the Knight of Wands, are not resonating with you, just know that each and every tarot card is of benefit and has invitations and messages and a way to help you deepen into that sovereignty of self. And one other thing about developing that relationship of opening into the sovereignty of self with each and every tarot card, I think a lot of what also needs to be said is about trust. Trusting that the cards that come forward are the ones that you didn't even pull, but you just feel in your gut, in your heart, in your spirit, that these are the ones that are with you. These are the ones that are holding your hands or are walking this path with you right now and are guiding you, aiding you, being an ally in any sort of way they can be. There's a level of trust that comes with that because I knew that I wanted to talk about the High Priestess, and I was just really kind of ruminating and steeping myself in all of her energies yesterday, just kind of getting some notes together and just feeling into what I wanted to talk about. And one of the other cards that came forward was the Knight of Wands. And I thought, yeah, I could really see how that would definitely be a card that could really be an ally right now, could really help present a way forward through this darkness. I didn't really know what I wanted the third card to be. Again, I was still just kind of steeping myself in the flavors and in the space of the High Priestess and a little bit of the Knight of Wands. And lately I've been watching one of my best friend's houses as she's away on vacation, and I watch her garden, I watch her cats, and I love doing it. Her family is my family. But I brought my tarot deck down and was just kind of like, okay, I want to just kind of see what other two cards just want to come forward. You know, sometimes I like to do the random pulls because then I feel that it's a message from spirit and I'm not getting in my own way, and that I can just kind of take that and run with that, and I don't have the doubt that comes with, was I right? Was I wrong? Not really second guessing myself, I guess you could say. I pulled over the Eight of Swords and the Knight of Wands. So that is definitely an invitation into trust that the body knows the cards that are going to be the ones that are with you. The body and the spirit knows the cards that are going to be with you are with you now. And again, the other cards will come in and go out, but just in my spirit, I first felt the High Priestess. I felt her so strongly. And then I felt the Knight of Wands, and I kind of was doubting myself a little bit, kind of judging, maybe like, well, you know, maybe that's a little bit on the nose, if you will, or that's just, you know, maybe that's just my own thoughts. Maybe that is what I feel deep within, but that's not something maybe I should speak to you on the pod. And just to have that come forward today with also the Eight of Swords, which really speaks to some of that as well, was just a confirmation and a message of nodding yes to trust and to belief in that the spirit knows the cards when they're there. And I was feeling those cards. So those are the other two cards we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the Eight of Swords, and we're going to talk about the Knight of Wands. But I just wanted to mention that as well, that there's a level of trust right now, and that can feel really hard when there's such a breach of trust from such a high place that that will have such deep, low consequences. And when I say low, I mean like atrocious, dark, heavy, painful, traumatic. So it can feel hard to trust right now, and if that's how you're feeling, again, I am with you. I am so with you on that. I have a little bit of trouble with trust in the best of times, and right now that is definitely something I feel that I really need to kind of sit with. But just having that come forward was an experience that I just wanted to share, because I feel that if that's happening for me, that might be happening, and I'm sure it is happening for others. And just to know that trust first in that space of sovereignty and of guidance from the self is where we should be sitting. And that can feel hard. It can feel, again, like a breach. And there's a lot of doubt and a lot of fear right now. And that fear and that doubt and that breach is exactly why I think that the High Priestess came forward so fully and so strongly. Because the High Priestess, oh, the High Priestess, what a lovely card. What a layered and nuanced card. And that's kind of the point. So the High Priestess comes after the Magician. And the Magician is the awakening to our magic, to the magic of the world. It is like a breath, an illumination. And we start to see with the Magician how we are of both magic and science, each and every one of us. We have that beautiful spectrum of everything from the most feral and primal to the highest and most enlightened part of us. We have the spectrum of magic and science. We have the spectrum of haunted and hallowed. We have all of that within us, each and every one of us. And the Magician is becoming more aware to where we are on our spectrum at any given time. And as with any card, it's not that once we move through the Magician once, we've taken everything we need to take in, we're fully aware, we're fully awake. It doesn't really work like that, because again, we're always moving like a pendulum on this spectrum, like a hinge on a door. And the Magician starts to come forward and say to us, how can we become more aware to our own magic? And how is that to also become aware, more aware to the magic of the world, of the cosmos, of other people, of animals, of stories, of myth, all of these things? Everything holds that spectrum within it, even inanimate objects. The High Priestess then comes in and says, take that, sit with that, deepen that, and allow that to create, or allow that to be a co-creation of deepening that guidance of self, that sovereignty of self, that you are fully on that spectrum, and that is a birthright. One of my teachers, Lindsay Mack, has so many beautiful episodes on the High Priestess and on every card, really, but I was just recently listening to her talk about the vertical lines of the Major Arcana, and she has one that I just listened to on the High Priestess, and maybe that's where some of this was coming from. But she talks about how the High Priestess is this channeling of the spirit of the self into this deepened state of knowing and of intuition. And I agree with that in so many ways. The high priestess is about sovereign receiving and sovereign listening. That the more we start to channel all of that awareness that we get from the magician, and we start to sit with that, deepen that, and receive the teachings, the guidance, the wisdom, the songs and the stories that start to come in and create this layered understanding of self that is a very sovereign experience. And it's not something that we can always talk about in a way that may make sense to others. It's not supposed to make sense to others. And the way that each person deepens into that space of going into co-creation with the magic of self and the spirit of self and that guiding principle of spirit of self, and starts to deepen that into the co-creation of the guidance of the universe and of the sovereignty of the universe, it's going to look different for each and every one of us. It's not going to be played out. It's not going to be initiated. And it's not going to be right for one person to sit, let's say, in meditation or to do yoga. These are very surface level things I'm just mentioning. That may not be right for some people. For others, that is the nail on the head. That is exactly how they start to deepen into their own intuitive knowing. They start to channel and to awaken more into how the inner knowing of self is such a guiding principle and is such a force to be reckoned with. It is literally one of the most powerful forces on earth to be able to tap into that space of self. And I'm not saying that if you struggle with intuition or you struggle to channel or to sit with intuition that you don't have it, that you're not worthy of it. Let me be very clear. And this is why speaking to sovereignty of self, of spirit, of body is such a high priestess energy. It is a birthright. And that is one thing that I get very frustrated about when hearing some of the things talked about in the overturning, that this is a constitutional right that we have to be able to seek this kind of reproductive or medical health care for our bodies at any time. It is not a constitutional right. It is not a constitutional right. It is a birthright. The birthright to body is so sacred that is why each of us has that spectrum of magic and of science, of spirit and of reality, of haunted and hallowed. Now, some people may not wish to channel it. Some people just may think that everything I'm saying is woo-woo, hokey. Some people may say that it's devil worship and that I'm going to hell and that every tarot reader, every astrologer, every person like that is going to hell. Whatever. The High Priestess says that your intuitive knowing and your sovereignty of spirit on the spectrum of all those things is not only a birthright, it is part of being in this world and it is needed in this world. So if you choose not to channel it, to really work with it, that's totally okay because that is your choice. And the High Priestess says that through sovereignty comes choice. Sovereignty with anything includes choice. So if you feel that you are having a hard time, that you are not able to take time to tap into intuition, into receiving any sort of messages from your spirit, from your spirit guides, from the allies and the energies that are with you, from the universe, from God, from the goddess, from any sort of thing. If you feel that you're having a hard time, I promise you, you are doing it exactly right. And that may feel very counterproductive to say, but the whole point of the High Priestess is not to sit down, get an answer, just to go about your day. It's not about just receiving something, knowing it, and then poof, you move on to the next thing, the next moment. The sovereignty of self and that sacred receiving that comes with the High Priestess is a ritual of self-initiation each and every time. We are always in a self-initiation of intuition, of spirit. Sometimes we're not actively in that mindset. We have to go about our day, we have to do other things. We may not have the space or the capacity to. I know that right now I am having a very hard time doing honestly anything at all. I am having a hard time because I am just moving again through such extreme emotions that I feel like I can't really sit. And that's why I felt that I needed to speak to the High Priestess and about the High Priestess, because it's not some picturesque moment where you just sit down, it's quiet, you have a candle listening, some new age music is playing, and you're just in your intuition. It's not like that. It is about honoring where you are able to channel, where you are, again, as Lindsay Mack says, able to come into a space of channeling that inner spiritual knowing and that inner guidance. And it's also about saying to yourself the times where it just feels very cloudy, it feels very covered, it feels like it's very unattainable. The High Priestess says that every time you sit down to do this, you are tapping into that sovereignty of self, because you are making the space for your spirit and for the energies and for the messages and for the principles and the guides and the animals and the ancestors and anything that you work with. You are allowing that space to be in co-creation between self and all of that. And sometimes it's not going to feel easy. It's not going to feel like you're doing it right. It's going to feel awkward. It's going to feel like trust me, I have had moments where I am sit down to do the work and then I just leave pissed because I'm like, well, that was a waste of time. But it's never a waste of time. Because the more that you start to do it, the more you start to say to yourself, I am sovereign. And if the spectrum for me right now is more cloudy than illuminated, then that's where I am. And that's okay. I am not meant to be perfect. I am not meant to get it right every time. I am not meant to just sit down and have this be easy. This is very, very hard work to continuously tap into that sovereign space of the self that no one can touch. No one can take away from you. And that is why we have actively seen the High Priestess weaponized and used against us for centuries. I mentioned this in the Instagram post that I put up, that she is the weapon that can never be disarmed. Here is the full quote. She comes right after the awakening of the magician. She is the threshold of intuition, the open door to the magical and real self. This is a birthright, to be in the matter and spirit of self, to be in the sovereign space of inner knowing and sacred listening to the universe. This birthright is so sacred that the oppressors have taken it and weaponized against us. If we only need to listen within for guidance and governance, then we become a weapon they could never disarm. I say this not to cheapen or weaken the blow of the overturn. This is a death sentence for many and an imprisoning for more. But the High Priestess reminds us that our birthright to a sovereign spirit can never be undone. She represents the weapon that can never be disarmed, but these oppressors can be. They can be undone. They can be disarmed. No one can take your spiritual self away from you. No one can take away that inner knowing and that inner receiving. It is literally a place so sacred, so divine, that the temple of it is so beyond anything that can be taken and used against you. And again, there's a choice in that, as there's a choice in everything. We can choose, and we should choose, to constantly question if what we're receiving is conditioned beliefs, if it's indoctrination from family, from places of worship, from the media, from politics. We should always be willing to question and to sit with whatever comes forward even more to see if this is something that is right, that it feels right within our body. But if it is, that temple of sacred sovereignty can never be taken away from you. And I say this knowing full well that that doesn't weaken, lessen, or diminish the emotions that come with not even of the overturning, with things that are personal in your own lives, in my own life, in the collective, and the fuckery that's going on in that in so many different directions. I say this knowing full well that that doesn't weaken, diminish, or lessen the pain, the fear, the doubt, the anger, or the real consequences that are going to come from things like this. But what I am saying is that we cannot let something that happened make us feel less sovereign in our bodies. In fact, this, and I hope that this makes us feel even more sovereign, even more connected to that sovereignty of self, because it is such a breach of that. It is such a violation. And it is such an unsurprising backlash. And again, we have seen the energies of the High Priestess be weaponized and used against us, used to demonize people. We have seen it being used as a weapon to gain a sense of control so that that sovereignty is wiped away, and that anything that is fed from the oppressor is just what we are supposed to take as true. We're supposed to take that as nourishment and to feed our bodies and our spirits and to not question where it comes from. And the High Priestess calls bullshit on all of that, because you cannot take away the High Priestess, just as you cannot take away that sovereignty of the mind, the heart, the body, the spirit. You cannot take that away, no matter how hard you try. And while some things, like what just happened, are going to have very traumatic, violent, bloody consequences, the High Priestess says that this is now the time to feel that sovereignty even more, because that is what allows us to be the weapon that they fear. That is what allows us to be of our spirit, of ourself, and to use that in the ways that are right for us. Now, if it works for us to be in a certain space and that's what feels right, and it maybe goes against what feels right for someone else, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that we should all just jump on a bandwagon and just run around waving what we think we feel or what we have been told to feel. Again, the High Priestess says, what is right for you? When you sit down and you start to come into that intuitive space of receiving from your own spirit, and that spirit is in co-creation with the spirit of the universe, and there's that whole massive spectrum that expands, that surrounds, that hugs you, that allows you to be cradled, that allows you to be safe in times that may feel very shitty. It allows you to come into a space that removes anything that is not meant to be here with you in this moment. And again, we don't have to make giant, drastic changes the minute that we step into the space. It's just about being in it. It is about sitting in this space and listening, receiving from the self and from spirit. That is the High Priestess. And she's been used and again weaponized because oppressors want you to take what they say, what they do, what they believe, and to take that in as your own truth. And she's like, nah, I'm good. I'm going to sit within the space of self. I am going to be initiated into the temple of myself. You cannot take that away. I will do it even when you do something like this, because this is now when it is needed most. So I say this again, not to lessen any emotion that you have. If you're raging, rage. Like, rage on, my darling. If you are crying, I will sit with you and cry as well. If you find moments where you're laughing and then you question your laugh, that is not wrong. That is okay. We need to still laugh. We need to still find the small spaces or the big spaces of joy in life. because that is what allows us to be in this space and to not just be to be overwhelmed by the darkness. We need all of those things. We need to be numb. We need to check out at times. We need all of that because that is what allows us to come into that sovereignty of self. I know that for me, sometimes my most intuitive moments come in when I'm sitting by my fire pit outside, I have a drink, Grizzly's with me, and we're just talking. And the more that we start to talk and the more that we start to engage with each other, or even if he's just on his phone and I'm just listening to some music, that is where I find my little high priestess space to be often, especially lately now that I have that opportunity. Because that is what allows me to just be. And I feel joy. I feel a space of joy, even in moments like this where I feel so many other things that I almost feel like I'm going crazy, because I really need that as a balm and as a salve for my spirit to remind me what it feels like to feel good, to remind me what it feels like to be in a space that just feels good. So again, I say all of these things about the High Priestess, not to relinquish anything that you feel, to say you need to feel the way I do, I'm not saying this to make you doubt anything that is happening in your truth, in your sovereignty of spirit. The only thing that I'm saying is that right now, I hope that that is something that becomes not even necessarily a priority, but I hope that it becomes something that opens even a little bit for you, because this is now where we need to be reminded we are sovereign, that we are on that magical spectrum, that we are divine, and nothing can take that away. And then to use that in initiation into the self, and then we bring in the other cards to aid what comes after that. So I want to start talking now about the Eight of Swords, and then the Knight of Wands. Starting with the Eight of Swords, this was actually a card that I really struggled in creating my notes for in relation to this podcast episode. And this was actually the card that made me question if I should just not do this episode. Because with the Eight of Swords, there usually is some sort of depiction where truth and reality are contradicted in the form of perception and what is perceived about the situation. So I'll give you an example. From the Hush Tarot by Jeremy Hush, we have a girl that is, her eyes are closed, she's holding her hands, and it actually, to me at least, almost looks like she's in prayer. Like she's in prayer, there's this one, there are flowers that she can't see, they feel like they're binding her almost like rope, but they're actually flowers. And one is around her neck. So we almost have this image come up, very, you know, again, a very violent image of like a hanging or something. And that could be how she feels, again, in the space of her eyes closed, going within and being in prayer position, kind of making this last connection to the divine, in her perception at least, that this is the last time to make that connection. And that is exactly where and why I struggled in putting my notes together in relation to this card and this podcast episode, because this isn't perception, this is reality. This is really happening. And in putting together my notes, I was like, how can I talk about this card in relation to something that's really happening? And it's scary, and it's making people enraged, it's making them feel fear, it's making them put together, you know, plans in place. There's going to be a lot of influx of out-of-state people coming to states like mine in order to receive this very necessary procedure that is safe and that allows these women to take that full sovereignty of choice into their lives and into regards to their health. So I was sitting here going, how can I talk about this? How can I talk about this card in a way that honors the beauty in this card? There is so much beautiful stuff in this card. And how can I place that in a space of what's really happening? And so what I want to say with this card comes this. When the Eight of Swords comes forward, we are being presented with a drastic and profound place to test the weight of our values, of our beliefs, of what is true, what we know to be true, both in the external world and within that sovereign temple of self. And to have the courage to try to mirror the two. So if we look at this in a very general space, taking out the situation that we're in right now, in this very current climate politically, this is a card that when it comes forward says that sometimes what we perceive is not really happening. Again, with the image of this girl in prayer, almost thinking she's about to be hung or strangled or die, she's actually wrapped around these beautiful flowers that are coming into bloom. And I will have this picture up on my Instagram so you will be able to see, but the flowers are budding. They're actually not even in bloom yet. And that really struck me, is to have the courage to sit in this space and find the buds and the blooms that can come from this. And I'm not saying that in any way to tell you to not rage, to tell you to not be angry, to tell you to not feel any sort of way. However you are processing this is valid. I am merely saying this, or I'm trying to say this as a way that this card came forward for a reason. And I believe and I trust that it is because there is this invitation, that this is a card that almost asks us to be the mirror that we want to have projected into the world. That we are being presented with a drastic and profound place to sit with what we know, to sit with what we think we know, and allow that space to broaden into the unknown. So what is this card saying? Well, I think it's saying, can I sit in myself, let all of my feelings come forward, let my beliefs, let my values rage at what's happening, which they are. And can I sit in this space and trust that a bloom, that some budding bloom will be there somewhere? And I don't know what that's going to look like. And not only do I not know what it's going to look like, I don't know how to be part of that blooming process yet. We should be supporting organizations. We should be supporting each other. We should be connecting even more now than we were before, because it's going to be needed. But it's also, there's that part of me is like, that's not going to be enough. And that's the hard part. And that's where the unknown comes in. How do we create a space that opens both our perceptions and our patience to allow what is going to happen, and to also trust that in that space there will be blooms, in a space that just feels like such utter darkness, there will be blooms. And again, I think that is why this card came forward, because in order to break out of this situation, or not even break out of this situation, but to get the full picture of this situation, all this girl needs to do is to open her eyes. All she needs to do is to not let what she feels or senses to be the full truth. So this card actively asks us to find more of what's in the situation, to seek further into the depths, to find creative solutions or creative channels that allow us to move and grow and find that sovereignty in that space. And the Eight of Swords is another card that is very much about sovereignty of space, because this is a situation that we cannot be told this is not the way it is, or we cannot be told all you need to do is this. In this situation, like with this girl feeling like she's about to be strangled, she has this noose around her neck, all she would have to do, even if she didn't want to open her eyes, is just to take her hands and move them to her neck, and then she could feel tangibly that this is not what it seems. So this is a card that asks us to find our sovereignty of self in moving us towards a higher and better space. This is a card that asks us to find blooms in the situations that feel like just darkness. And this is a card that asks of us to move through the situation even with fear, as the fear is very high in this situation, in both the card image and in real life. And the Eight of Swords is often depicted as a card, as I mentioned, that provokes a lot of fear. So this card says that it is only through our full body, through our heart, our mind, our body, and our spirit, that we can deepen into the truth of a situation. And we have to create the space for all of those faculties to come together. And no one can tell us that. Again, no one can tell us that this isn't, you know, I mean, people can say, like, you shouldn't be afraid of this situation, they're just flowers. But to her, it doesn't feel like just flowers. There's a lot of sovereignty that needs to come in with this card. There's sovereignty that needs to come in, that we need to be willing to sit in a space of unknown, of fear, and evaluate with our whole selves. This is also a card that asks us to find what is within our truth and to use that as a way to move us. How can we use fear as a great shifter, as a great mover, to find the truth and find a way to a solution or a creative other side of this situation? And that's one of the most beautiful gifts of the Eight of Swords, is that when it comes forward, this is a card that says that it is inviting us to pursue the other side of the situation, even if we do not know where that other side is. It asks us to pursue and to go deeper into the truth of a situation when our brains are screaming out in fear. So what this card is saying is that we have to be willing to try even amidst the unknown, even amidst the darkness. We have to be willing to try to find the blooms somewhere, somehow, some way through this. And that's not to say we have to do that right now. That's not to say that it just erases how we feel. And that's not to say that we have to just find the positives in every situation. That's not what this card is saying, and that's not realistic. There's going to be a lot of darkness and harm that comes from situations like this. And that needs to be part of that inner knowing that we hold and that we have. We can't erase it. We can't run from it. We cannot hide from the truth, no matter how hard or ugly or upsetting it is. And I think that's another reason why this card came forward, is because oftentimes, in relation to the Eight of Swords, there's an invitation that our perceptions make things worse than they actually are. Well, this is a situation where the reality is worse than perhaps our perceptions can even make it. And that is hard to swallow, but that has to be part of the truth that moves us. That has to be part of the truth that holds us in a space of knowing. It has to be part of what comes into our sovereign space and asks us to move and not be stuck. To be stuck is what continues certain cycles of perception. Being stuck is what continues certain cycles of patterns to be repeated. So if the blooms in this situation amidst the knowns and the fears and the darkness is helping someone register to vote, is opening your home, is connecting to someone, is talking to someone, if that is any small thing that provides a little bit of a bloom in this darkness, then that is enough right now. This card also says that in order to go through this stuff, we have to have patience and take time. This is not a card that asks us to just erratically just flail around and just, you know, move chaotically. In fact, it's quite the opposite. This card asks us to sit in this space with our perceptions, with our brains being triggered by very real things happening right now of fear, and we feel this triggering happen and we can't shut it off because, again, it's real, it's happening. But maybe what we can do is create a space of behavior shift, of language shift, of perception shift. Maybe that's part of that bloom, is that it allows us to find a space of stillness and of tending ourselves through this. That is something that I have had to do a lot of the last few days, is just really tending to myself, because I have not had the energy to get up, to continue to record the podcast, to put all my notes together. And because of that, a lot of the things that I said I was going to do, that I had, you know, tracked out to do, and my goals and my to-do list and all of that, has gotten really pushed back. And there's a part of me that the minute that happens, my brain gets triggered, because I'm like, oh, I need to get this stuff done. But then I have the triggering of what's happening in the world. And right now, all I can do is find the time and space to do what I can, where I can, and be gentle. And that's maybe one of the small blooms that comes in. And it could be any other number of things. So this card asks us to gently tend our movements in our shifts and back into alignment, and not even just back into alignment, but beyond it. Again, we have these beautiful little buds that haven't even flowered yet. And so when this girl creates that shift within herself and allows the situation to deepen, and she becomes aware of how she's not being harmed, she's being held, she can take these blooms and go with her into the 9, the 10, and then plant that flower, and those seeds will bloom again and a new cycle starts. So with us, those blooms may not be as linear. They may not be as big or as glorious right now, and they very well may be, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I still believe that we have to have the beautiful moments come in, even in the midst of this, because that is what allows that perception and that deepening and that sovereignty to shift us not only back into realignment, but into something even better. When we have the awareness and we have this space of being held with both known and unknown that comes with the Eight of Swords, we are better for it. Now, I'm not trying to, again, smear in any way the realities of what's going to happen and just be like, oh, we're better for this going forward. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that this may well be a very long fucking road, and it's going to be. And I can only speak for myself and say that I am not coming out of this situation the way I was before June 24th. I will not be the same person. I will not have the same narratives or dialogue within my mind or within my heart. I will not be in a space of behaving the same way, of acting the same way. Things are changing. And if that's a gift that I can give through all of this darkness, and if that's one tiny bloom that I can contribute, then I'm going to do that. So with this card, I invite you to first gently tend, to be gentle, to be soft, to not feel like you have to force yourself to move into and out of these situations chaotically, with havoc, with a sense of being hurried or rushed. Take time for yourself, for your processing, for whatever you need to do, and take the time where you can. I understand that as crazy it is as it is that we're all just still like living our lives after this, that we kind of have to get up and go do the same things. So where you can, as you can, how you can, tend, be gentle, allow knowns and unknowns to be in the same space. As much as it feels hard, as much as it feels like there's no point, that is what allows that space to soften and to open in a way that's not just forced or rushed. I would also invite you to do whatever you need to acknowledge the real fear or the real emotions that you're having, the real rage, the real grief, the real sense of foreboding, whatever it is, you know, whatever you need to do, honor that, allow that to be part of the conversation you have. Again, we're working with a sword, so this is all about language, behaviors, actions, boundaries, and thoughts. So allowing all of those feelings to have a space and have a say is also what's going to help to allow that softening to occur. And then finally, if you can, see if there is a space for a seed to be planted or for a bud to be there that will hopefully bloom through this, however small it is. And if you feel like you can't have that, that's okay. Again, everyone needs to do what is right for them. And I just take this from the card image, and I think that this, it really spoke to me. So that's an invitation that I'm putting out there, and you can take that as you need. But that, those invitations, whichever ones you choose, are what will help us allow us to move not only, as I said, back into realignment, but into something bigger. And that is where we get to the Knight of Wands. So the Knight of Wands encompasses the elements of air and fire. So we have a lot of, again, just very intense rage energy here. When I think of air and fire, these are the two masculine elements, if we want to put that term on there, whereas water and earth are the more receptive, the more feminine, the softer ones. So with air and fire, we have a lot of very intense elemental energy. All of the knights are movers and shakers in some form. They are there to move us or shake us out of old systems and into new ones. And the Knight of Wands, because it's in the element of air and fire, we have these themes come in of, again, ideas, thoughts, expressions, behaviors, actions, boundaries, beliefs. And they are in this space of singularity, because when we are dealing with the knights, we have an energy, or if we want to talk about what the cards, what the knights in the court represent, we have the knights represent both a rising and emerging and a moving into collective, and yet there is still a level of singular autonomy or singular self. When we move into the knight, when we move into the queen and the king, we start to get into much more communal and collective energies. Both of those represent the communal and the collective energies. And then there's the layers of each, you know, each court card and each suit. But with the Knight of Wands, we have this beautiful passion based on personal truth. We have this beautiful space of intense energy awakening with a passion and a sense of urgency based on personal truth, personal conviction, personal ideas, personal thoughts, expressions, belief systems, and behaviors. One of the things that I really wanted to share in relation to the Knight of Wands comes from my ebook. I wrote an ebook for each tarot card that you can get by becoming a patron. But sometimes, like I want to today, I share little snippets. And one of the things that I wrote in this book for the Knight of Wands is that there is an invitation with this card to rise to your power, to learn and shift forth with each step of ascension. In the deepness of this message, the energy of the Knight of Wands is responsive to the thresholds and beckoning of the universe and is ready to fully embrace the path of self-ascension and migration into the collective. In rising to your power and integrating what motivates you to grow beyond, there is space for fierce autonomy. The universe and others are with you, orbiting you, and speaking to the potentials you have, but it is you that must choose to ascend. It is only through the recognition that it is only within you and you alone who can walk your path for the rise to power to begin again and again. So what this means is that the Knight of Wands is not an energy that sits around and waits for us to get comfortable, that waits for things to be good before we say, hey, we're gonna rise, we're gonna keep going, we're going to fight for what we believe in, we're going to create public change based on personal truths. We're going to act with passion and urgency based on personal truth in order to create changes and create shifts and to move into a space of higher ascension and higher attaining. That's not the way the universe works. But it's also not where we just, again, like, freak out and just move and go, and there's no sense of grounded sense. There's no sense of grounded foundation that is supportive, that allows us to move carefully with a sense of, not even of a plan, but that allows us to move in a space that is both safe, smart, and in a space that will allow for us to also know where our limits are, to know where we need to tend, where we need to step back. If we have to just rush, go, push, we are going to wear ourselves out. And that's not going to help anyone. So the Knight of Wands asks us to find a space of grounded support, of planned awareness, or of planned understanding of how we can start to move into this space of threshold and beckoning and responding to what's happening. It's not simply about just, again, moving around in chaos and fury and in a panic, because again, that's not helpful, that's not supportive. But it's also not about just waiting for us to not feel stuck in order to not be stuck, going back to the Eight of Swords here, because that's not going to happen either. We have to be willing to move in spaces of unknowns. And we have to be in a space of moving and ascending and of response to what's happening that is both safe and secure for us, but that still speaks to our personal passion, to our personal truth, to our personal conviction. So however this looks for you, I urge you to do what you feel you can in creating that space. I know that for me, one of the things that I can always do, and I'm offering it here, is I'm offering a space of safety and of recovery. And I live in the beautiful state of Colorado, and we allow for things like hiking and camping to occur. You need a space to stay while you are hiking and camping, then my home is a safe space. For me, in my Knight of Wands, I am also in awareness that part of my rising and part of my ascension is, again, just to hold space for wild spirits and to also speak to the truth. And that's one of the things that the Knight of Wands asks us all to do. We cannot rise and respond to these thresholds opening and to what's happening if we're not first willing to speak on personal truth. For me, that's what I'm going to continue to do here in personal and professional spaces, is speak on the truth and to allow the space for others to do the same. And I invite you to consider what within your Knight of Wands energy is part of your personal truth and fuels that passion for you. Because one of the things with the Knight of Wands that comes forward is that we start to recognize that there is a sense of personal ownership that comes with a card like the Knight of Wands. There's a sense of placing importance on that personal truth and of that deepening message and of that space of passion and of urgency and of rising into power based on ownership. The Knight of Wands knows that, again, he cannot ask, or she cannot ask, or they cannot ask someone to partake in this place of ascension if they are not willing to do it first. They cannot ask someone to go in and fight this fight if they are not willing to stand beside them fighting that fight in the same way, or at least standing side by side in support and in a space of protection and of shared ownership over this space. And I think that's why the Knight of Wands came forward for me, and also came forward when I did this card pull, was that however we are called in and up with the Knight of Wands, it's asking us to, again, not to rush, not to place a level of push or pressure. It is more than perfect to take time to still go through the processing of this. And again, it's not linear. There may be times where we feel a rush of energy to do something, and then we really have to kind of come back and again process and come back to a space of connecting to our deeper self, to that sovereignty, and to that personal ownership that we feel in both the personal and the collective in relation to situations like this. So it's not about just rushing, it's not about going, and it's not about not taking time to tend or to rest or any of those things. But the Knight of Wands says that clearly now is the time to speak to that personal truth, to act on that personal truth, to move with that passion and those belief systems, and to use that as fuel for the fire, for this movement, for this shift. It's clear that it's not just going to happen, because if it was going to happen, this wouldn't have happened, you know? So this is now the time where the Knight of Wands says that, yes, we need to come into that place of sovereignty. It is a birthright, and we need to act on that because it is a birthright and because they are still weaponizing it against us. They are still taking that and using that as a way to fill us with limitations, with shame, with trauma, with horrors, with wounds, with real violence. And the Knight of Wands, I believe at least, came forward and said, yes, this is happening, but we're also a weapon. We are also warriors. We are also passionate about this cause. We're passionate about so many things. We're passionate about just this world, about this life, both my life, your life, our collective lives, and passionate about moving in a space of aligns and ascends that personal truth even higher, so that even like the spirits, the cosmos, and the angels can hear it. With the Knight of Wands, I just want to end on that. There's also a level of persistence and perseverance that comes with all the knights. And the reason for that is because in order to move and to shake up the systems, oftentimes that doesn't just happen. If this is like a, you know, like a quest or a pilgrimage of some kind, it's long, it takes work. So there's a level of persistence. And with the Knight of Wands specifically, there's a need to look to where not only your passion and your truth lies, but where your strength lies, where your own personal zeal, and how to use that in a way that creates that level of ascension or that level of moving and shaking that is almost contagious. That when you find that personal fire within you, others will feel it. And however you do that, I support you. I'm here with you. Again, I am holding your energy, your space, and however you're doing it, I am with you. And finally, this is the time for us to fully own the path that we want to walk, not just the one we're walking, and to use that as a way to continuously remind us why we're walking this path, because there are so many reasons to, again, just get kind of lost in the true darkness of this truth and to forget that those blooms from the Eight of Swords are in there. So the Knight of Wands asks us to walk the path that not only we are walking, but that we want to walk, and to use that as a reminder to manifest our strength, our power, our zeal, and our personal truth in what we do. So now I would like to go and read my poem, Justice, from my upcoming poetry book, Major Arcana, a Poetry Collection. And I just want to announce that I received the news today that my books are actually ready. I'm very excited about this. I will probably not have them up for purchase until after the 4th. Obviously, I am not celebrating the 4th in any way. But I think that that's just a good time for me just to kind of like maybe kind of get back a little bit on track and to kind of come with a little bit of a new, not a new attitude, because some of what I feel is going to be here for a very long time, but to just allow myself to breathe and to move through a little bit more of some of these emotions before I try to start a space of expansion for one of my most cherished creations that I've ever made up to this point. So I'm feeling a big yes in myself to just take a little time with it, to come back to it, let some of these things move through first. So it will probably, like I said, be up after the 4th, but I wanted to share this poem in relation to what's happening. It wasn't about this in any way, but I feel that this is a card, another card I could have easily have talked about. But I feel that this poem kind of speaks for this time and kind of speaks to some of that Knight of Wands energy, to some of all the things we've been talking about today. And fun little fact, this poem is the only one in the book that is actually dedicated to someone. I do have a dedication of the book, but this is the only poem that is actually for someone specific, and that is for Matthew Hopkins, Witchfinder General. I won't go into the history here, but Google him, research him, and it will become clear why he is listed in this poem, and I will share more on him and why I put him in there when I really start to sell the book, but that is in there. Justice. I am judge and jury, my magic the executioner. I never knew how to hold this heaviness until the lions showed me how. They have seen the faces of the hunters. They know when some won't make it out alive. They shake the trees with their roar, alerting even the prey, those who feed their generations from tumbling into nothing. My existence is a testament to the way magic will fragment and escape. History holds the shame of documenting when you smashed in the doors, picked at the skin, pointed at an innocent mark on her naked, trembling body, declared this the evidence of unholy communion with the beasts. But we are still here. Our leagues are of the moon, the elder tree, the health of the crops that fed the fat cattle that fed your fat and mad king. You never used fire, but you still gave rise to a phoenix. And that's that poem. That was one that just came out the moment I wrote it. Just, this was the way it wanted to come out, and I honored that. And that is it, everyone. Thank you for listening. I don't know if this podcast was the most raw and real, or just the most raw and unbearable to listen to. I'm sorry. There's just a lot moving, and wherever you are at, I'm just holding you, your energy, your truth, everything in, and just know that I am here as an ally if you ever need anything. One final announcement that I want to say is that I will actually have a tarot spread for working through the times that we're in. That will be available on my newsletter that will be sent out to everyone that is subscribed to my newsletter email feed. I will have the link for that in the show notes if you want to receive that free email. And I don't do any sort of spam or anything with the emails. Not that I feel I should even have to say that. But I only send out an email twice a month, and I usually try to include just thoughts and little, just thoughts I have on the cards, little invitations, journal prompts, reminders, things like that. And sometimes I try to throw in things like this, but this is actually the first tarot spread that I am ever including. So that will be available. And if you want to sign up for my email list, again, follow that link in the show notes. And you can also do that. I will include the link too as well. If you haven't received and you want to, I have a very large free handout on the edges of the fives. And the edges of the fives are also, again, cards we could talk about here. In this time, but if you want to sign up for that and receive that big handout, that freebie that I put out, you will still be then put into the email list, and then you will still get that free tarot spread handout as well. That's going to be included in the newsletter. So I will have both links. One if you don't really want to do. Don't really want that freebie of the edges of the fives, or if you really want that, either way, you will be listed in and included into my email list, and you will receive that newsletter with that free tarot spread. So yeah, I want to thank my Wraiths patrons, Lisa Zimmerman, Bobby McDermott, Deb Guy, and Zach Tate. Oh, thank you for your continued support in Tea and Tombstones. It means the world to me. And to you, dear listener, take care as you can, where you can, and I will talk to you next time. Bye. Thank you for listening and for letting me into your day. If you liked this podcast and you enjoy the content of Tea and Tombstones, please like the show, rate it on iTunes, continue to listen to past and future episodes, and share with someone who would enjoy these fierce discussions. These are the best ways to show your support, and it is greatly appreciated. If you would like to work with me in services of tarot guidance and spiritual allyship, please click the link in the show notes to be directed to my store and services page. Consider becoming a patron so you get an extra card every month, resources for the affirmation, and physical products that coincide with that third monthly card. Finally, come find me and say hi on Instagram. Keep howling, my wild one.